So I have a Holy Ghost to-do list.
I love that.
A Holy Ghost to-do list for us. So, and they're all good. Look, you're going to be like, is this Dave's to-do list? No, this is a Holy Ghost to-do list. Okay, I believe it's biblical. All right. I think we would all agree. Number one, realize that we are in an intense, heightened battle right now. Just COVID alone, we could say that constitutes a battle. I think it's bigger than COVID. I think there are geopolitical forces in the world. There are forces of good and forces of dark. I mean, you know, it could be beyond my pay grade, but I believe that what we're seeing at the battle level is actually a much bigger war. But we could all agree that we're in a heightened level of battle right now. Everybody would agree we're in an intense battle. Even just COVID alone, that we could check off the list. But I think it's bigger than that. I think it's bigger than COVID. I think it is truly global. And I think it's forces of darkness, forces of light, kingdom of God, kingdom of darkness. I believe it's freedom versus control. I believe it's the forces that are empowering global socialism, communism against freedom and national sovereignty. I really believe that there are huge principalities and powers, and that the heaviness that we are living under is things like the Archangel Gabriel having to get through the Prince of Persia. It took him 3 weeks to get there. 3 weeks took Gabriel. Now, I don't think it takes... I don't think this side of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus, it takes Gabriel, Michael, and Raphael, and all the other archangels, if you want to list them all, come up with their names. You know, you've got to go into intertestamental Judaism to get the whole list of names. But anyway, all of the angels, I think that angels can cut through, on this side of the cross. I think that it's not a 3 week delay. I think it's a much easier. We're not living in the same days spiritually that Daniel was. Daniel lived on that side of the cross, on that side of that Jesus hadn't come to the planet, didn't disarm these powers and these anyway.
That's right.
So
yeah.
We need to realize we're in a battle, but the equipment that we have on this side of the cross is far greater than what Daniel had. All right. So, second thing I believe on our Holy Ghost to-do list is that God wants us to renew our vision. Whatever vision God has given us that you've identified with, and I told you that this community is all about releasing Christ's kingdom. So there was our initial vision. This last year, the Lord gave us the vision to extinguish fear, right, wherever we go. So whatever vision that God has, that you have identified with and partnered with and said yes to, today God wants to renew it for you. Because until he's given you a new marching orders, we stick with the last vision. We stick with the last one. And I can tell you right now, God has not retracted, go forth and this gospel of the kingdom, and lo, I'm with you always, will be preached to the end of the earth. That is ongoing, biblically, until Jesus returns. You know? It's not like you're going to die and Jesus is going to say, why were you healing the sick and casting out demons? That wasn't what I was about. He's like, yes, I was, until the end of the age. All right? So, maybe you need to repent. Some of us probably need to say, Lord, I lost sight of the vision. You gave me a vision. And I'm kind of like one of those people back in Proverbs. I'm kind of one of those people that's running wild right now. I'm kind of perishing. I'm lacking restraint. You know, Natalie's been feeling a little bit like she's been feeling this uneasiness, kind of like at times in this last season, right? Just some of the ways that you've been feeling, it's been manifesting physically. So I think the Lord would say to us, it's like, okay, renew. We can ask the Lord, renew the vision. I commit myself anew to the last vision you gave me. And maybe we need to repent. We need to say, Lord, I haven't been obeying you. I haven't been doing what you told me to be doing. Because I've been encouraged the last 2 days because I just, with all this heaviness and stuff going on, destroying some works of the devil, getting some prophetic revelation, seeing some stuff happen has been so encouraging. And I think that the Lord would have us even add a little bit that not only does he want to renew our vision, he wants us to go to other people that do not have a vision and impart vision to them.
Yes.
I think he wants us to share the vision with people we meet, to encourage people, that, because I don't think many people right now have a vision. I know their pastors, many of their pastors do not have a vision. They did not Zoom from the Zoom. They're not gathering in person. The sheep are discouraged. They need vision. And guess what? It's so funny. Natalie and I go these places, and the first question after we prophesy or pray or whatever, offer, are you guys pastors? Right? Sharon discovered this week. Pastor. Listen. The shepherds have been scattered. Would you go out and shepherd the sheep? I don't care. You don't have to call yourself whatever you want. Just do the work that shepherds do. Because the shepherds, many of the shepherds are cowards in this hour. They have stepped away. And I'll let God sort out who the cowards are or whatever. They are not doing what they signed up for. And the sheep are scared. And the sheep are discouraged. And the sheep lack vision. And guess what? You might be the only Jesus that these people encounter.
Yes.
So again, Philippians 1:6 says this, he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. If God gave us a vision, he began a good work in us. He will be faithful to complete it. All we have to do is wake up and say, God, I partner with you today. I'm available. I'm going to love the one in front of me. Right?
Amen. Yes.
So, the third point on the Holy Ghost to-do list is similar to the last one, or adding on to it. Participate in the mandate to be releasers of Christ's kingdom. It's biblical. Go into all the world, teach them to obey all that I've commanded you. What did Jesus command the 12? Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse out lepers, cast out demons. Okay? So, it's biblical. So I'm telling you, this is the Holy Ghost to-do list. You're not going to check with God. Okay, Lord, do you really want me to? Yes, I said it already in my word. You know, you're going to get a heaven. Yes. Right? Instead of a other expression. If you say, God, am I supposed? Heaven, yes. You're supposed to do these things. You are supposed to love people in Jesus' name and release the kingdom. And guess what? You do not need a word of knowledge. Words of knowledge are nice, but all we have to do is offer to pray for people right now. It is so amazing what God will do.
Yes.
Just all we have to do is offer to pray for people. So, and yet we have so much more than just, we've got prophetic stuff and all that stuff. Anyway, one of my mentors said this. He was asked, what is the key if somebody never wants to get depressed as a Christian? Because there's a lot of Christians that struggle with depression. I want to tell you, quite honestly, many people that we know and that we respect and honor are struggle with depression. And I'm not talking about, I don't know about this room in our midst, but just Christian leaders that you and I know, listen to, and have affirmed and learned from, many, many of the Christian leaders that I know, famous Christian leaders, men and women, have struggled with depression and have been on medication to deal with depression. And I'm not saying, I'm just saying this is the fact. I'm not evaluating it other than to say this. My mentor said this. He said, if you want to keep depression at bay, discover what your gift is and use it every day. And you will never get depressed. I'll tell you right now, If I was a little bit depressed 2 days ago or 3 days ago, maybe I was, I don't know. For me, it's hard to know what depression looks like because my normal is so, like one time I think I was mildly depressed for 6 months, but it didn't look like depression because it was just me kind of being more like a normal person. And yet it was depression for me after my dad died.
Literally. I'm not laughing at that.
That's good. Because we have words later. But I think I was at the end of it. I think I'm like, okay, I don't want to go out. I mean, it's the strangest thing ever. Can you imagine? I mean, like the activist, I didn't want to go out. All I wanted to do was just stay home all the time, you know? And after 6 months, it's kind of like, oh, maybe you're mildly depressed. Right. Anyway, but the way out of it, if you give away what God has given you, I want to tell you right now, I came up with an expression, a miracle a day keeps depression away. That's my application of the principle. I want to tell you right now, nothing is as fun as walking into a coffee shop yesterday. Who's got this pain? Oh, it's you? Oh, you're Muslim? Here, let's pray in Jesus' name. And boom, and knowing that the gospel, and I'm so excited the next time we walk by, by the grace of the Lord, they will start comping us free coffees at those prices. Yeah, I know. But we will receive. When somebody wants to give us free food, we will receive it. It was funny, we went to another place and we were ministering to a guy, actually the guy that Oren, you met. He's like, we have had so little business. I can't give you free cappuccinos today. We didn't go there asking for free cappuccinos. In fact, the last time we went was the first time we ever got free cappuccinos. Now, I'm not going to lie. When we went up, I was thinking, I hope it's free today.
You did not.
No, in my heart. What's wrong with that?
I was happy to help because he said they're making so little money right now.
Yeah, anyway.
For the sake of the gospel.
All right. So, I want you, if you're feeling a little bit down, you're feeling a little bit depressed, and you go and you pray for somebody else and God does something, I want to tell you right now, that will break that spirit. Yeah, it will break it right off. True. The problem is, we're so unaccustomed to living with a miracle a day. Yeah. You know, if we would live the way we're supposed to live, we probably wouldn't drift into depression. Anyway. that's my prescription for how to never get depressed. All right. Number four. And this is biblical. This is on the Holy Ghost to-do list. Pray for wisdom. This is that James 1:5. Let's pray at the end of this. When I get through my two more points, we're going to start praying and we're going to ask God, give us wisdom, whatever we need wisdom for, whatever we need discernment for. Whatever spirit, if you're like, okay, I don't know, should I listen to this guy or shouldn't I? Should I listen to this podcast or this message right now or shouldn't I? I want to tell you right now, we have to be so discerning what we listen to. We have to be so discerning about the news sources we will. I want to tell you right now, one of the greatest things that I've done in the last couple of months is shut off almost all news. It's been glorious. Not easy. When you're a news junkie and you're an information junkie, it's very hard to not know what's going on. Because you want to know what's going on.
Fast on news.
Yeah. Well, you know.
He's off Facebook. Every
single responsible Christian leader I know right now that is seeking the Lord is saying the same thing I've heard. They have almost completely off of all the news right now, because it's so toxic and there's so many lies that are going around. And I mean, one false narrative gets pushed for 9 months, everybody believes it, then they retract it, but people still believe the lie, right? I mean, the lies that people are getting caught up into, it's unbelievable. All right? Yeah, no, we do. So, another thing we need to pray for, and this again is biblical, Jesus prayed that they may be one even as we are one. John 17:22. We need to start praying for greater unity right now in the body of Christ, because the body is so divided right now. good people are at each other's throats, good people demonizing each other, saying these people, you know, I mean, I'm telling you right now, as stupid as there was a false narrative that was promoted, and some of you might have heard it. I'll just go ahead and repeat it. It wasn't true, but there was this conference of conservative political conference, and people started saying, oh, they had a gold statue of Trump there. A gold statue.
And they took pictures and posted it too.
Oh, yeah. No. It was a complete, snow job. That there was this artist that had this statue. The guy was actually a pastor of a church, a pastor of a Calvary chapel that had done this. And it was just there. It was a for sale thing. It had nothing to do with anything. But the fake news media said, oh, look, they're bowing to their, they worship this guy. They idolize this guy. And then Christians heard that. And, oh, I knew those Christians. They were too identified with this leader. And it was all just a lie. Just a lie. A false narrative. And yet the Christian media was jumped on it. And, oh, now these Christians have gone too far. Look, see, I knew there was idolatry. I knew it was Christian nationalism. I knew that they worshiped this man. I knew it. It's all a lie. Just a lie. But guess what? Doesn't matter. Got out there. You know, it wasn't true. I don't know if you heard it. You saw it on social media. It doesn't matter. Stuff is getting out there. So we need to pray right now. And then it just makes Christians look stupid. Again, just stupid. I heard an interview with the guy who made the statue. He's a pastor, and what it was, and it was this for sale thing. It was in this part of the exhibition. It was kind of like where they sell products and stuff. Anyway, and then I guess somebody had come along and made a joke and bowed before it, and somebody took a picture of it, and that went to the media. And I mean, the whole thing. Oh, look, there, the idolizes this guy. Yeah, perfect story, right?
Yeah, now they can fake everything.
Yeah, yeah, I know. It doesn't matter. So, whatever, it's like one guy I listened to, he says, whenever the fake news media reports anything, wait 24 to 48 hours before you make any opinion on it, because you're going to find out that it wasn't true, it was a half-truth, it was something else. He said, I can't tell you how many people look foolish because they jump on a bandwagon, they say something, and then it was all debunked, and then they look like a big stupid fool. And all they had to do was wait 24 hours, but everybody wants to be the latest to be a commentator. Anyway, so we do need to pray for unity. I think we need to pray for unity of the body of Christ in this country. As well, 1 Corinthians 1:10.
Wait, was that number six?
Yeah, that was five.
Oh, that was five.
Sorry. But Paul, Jesus prayed that they may be one. Isn't a powerful prayer? That they may be one, my disciples, mm-hmm. that they may be one. How? Even as we are one, Father.
Yeah.
He was actually, his vision for unity was the same unity that the Trinity has.
Yeah.
We would have.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
And doesn't he say, I'm going to pour out my glory, I'll give them my glory so that.
Yeah.
So we need glory.
Anyway. Yes. Glory. Paul, like Jesus, says this. This is a great verse. 1 Corinthians 1:10. Paul says, I beseech you, I exhort you, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you, all of you, agree. And that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment.
1 Corinthians 1:10?
Is that right? 1 Corinthians 1:10. And when I read through that verse, I'm like, Paul was writing that prayer to a church that was very divided. Today, the church is very divided. And yet the apostolic prayer, the apostolic admonition of Paul is that we can even pray that we would all agree, that there would be no divisions, that we could be united in the same mind and the same judgment. Mm. That's not an easy task in this hour. Anyway, but something that we can pray for. And finally, point six on the Holy Ghost to-do list.
There was a term that was koinonia.
Koinonia. Yes. Been listening to messages from Koinonia House this week or the last couple weeks. Anyway, fast and pray for God's kingdom to come. We know the Lord's Prayer is, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. What does that mean? We know it means healing, deliverance. It also means justice. It means righteousness. It means truth. It means lies being exposed, corruption, all that stuff. Psalm 89:14 says, righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. So, it is God's will right now that we fast and pray. God, all of the scams going on in the world, all of the politicizing, all of the corruption, you know, we can pray, God, let your justice come, let your righteousness come, let your truth come. This is his will. It's the foundation of his throne. Psalm 22:3 says that God is enthroned in the praises of his people. So even as we begin to worship, when we go into worship, that song, I think we sang it recently, I don't know, but it came to me at the end of this. And as we worship, Lord, build your throne. What is his throne? The foundation of his throne, according to Psalm 89:14, is righteousness and justice. So we can pray right now in this nation, Lord, righteousness and justice. Way too many people are being treated unjustly right now. And it's not righteous, and it's not just, and it's not fair, and it's not true. The stuff that's driving this agenda right now. It's not needed. The stuff that they're doing, it's not the justice of God. It's not righteousness. Especially since there's a Holy Ghost imparted church in this country that should be healing all the sick anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to tell you right now, just say it. The last thing I'm going to say on this. Whoa, that was an hour and a half message. That's crazy. But I want to say this. I'm going to end with this. What would Jesus do? He would not wear a mask. Amen.